We're looking at Peter's message following the healing of the lame man, and it's the second part of this message. Remember, when Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, which would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they met a man sitting at the temple gate who had been lame throughout his entire life of more than 40 years. Can you imagine being more than 40 years of age and never having been able to walk throughout your entire life? Wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to do anything. So they carried him to the temple gate every day where he asked for an alms, a charitable gift from the people. But Peter gave him something far better than the alms he requested. He healed him so that he would no longer be lame. The crowd gathered, and Peter seized the opportunity to present the gospel to them. Peter disclaimed any ability or power he or John had, which had healed this lame man. It was through the power of Jesus that this man had been healed, the same Jesus whom the Jewish people had caused to be crucified. Peter acknowledged that the Jewish people had acted in ignorance, but that God had foretold Christ's crucifixion through his prophets. Peter then urges them to repent and be converted in order that their sins might be blotted out. Verses 19 through 26 read, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." We begin our study with verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In verse 19, Peter calls on the Jewish men, and it was basically only men who were present, to repent and be converted, with the result that their sins will be blotted out in order that they might enjoy the future blessings of Israel. Repent ye is simply repent, or change your minds. Therefore introduces an inference drawn from what has been previously stated and is understood in the sense of accordingly, then, consequently, or so, and connects repent ye with be converted, turn back, or return from a course of action. That your sins may be blotted out indicates the purpose or the intended result of their repenting and being converted. that suggests in order that, or perhaps in an intended result, so that, or with the result that, your sins, literally of you, the sins, your is being emphasized by its placement before sins in the Greek text, and the, which appears before sins in the Greek text, implies the sum total of all your sins. Did you understand that? When Jesus Christ is trusted as Savior of your life, every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit in the future are at that instant forgiven completely. May be blotted out, suggests may be removed so as to leave no trace in the sense of are removed, are destroyed, or are obliterated. The sins that you have or will commit are forgiven forever. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord is actually a purpose clause in the Greek text, where when is understood in the sense of in order that. The times of refreshing is the times of relaxation, the times of relief, or the times of rest. And it is referring to the period of time known as the millennium. We're in the church age now. This will end when the rapture takes place. When will that take place? We don't know. But it could be soon. Then it is followed by 7 years of what we call the tribulation. Following the tribulation is the second coming of Christ. Following the second coming of Christ is the beginning of the millennium, a 1,000-year period when Jesus actually rules the earth. The times of refreshing refers to the millennium, shall come, as may come. It will come for those Jews who are saved and still living. But it will not come for those Jews who reject Jesus as their Messiah. From the presence of the Lord is literally from the face of the Lord, where the presence or the face represents the Lord himself, so that the phrase is understood in the sense of from the Lord. In this context, it means from God the Father. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. Verse 20 indicates that Lord is not referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but referring to God the Father, whose Son is Jesus Christ. The future blessings of Israel will come when God the Father sends Jesus back at his second coming, which has been proclaimed to the Jewish people. And continues the clause begun at the end of verse 19, he shall send Jesus Christ, where he is God the Father, speaks of his sending Christ at the second coming, not at the rapture, which was preached before unto you, where you refers to the Jews and is plural. It's referring to Jesus. It suggests the one who has been proclaimed publicly to you. The verse reads literally, and he shall send the one who has been publicly proclaimed to you, Jews, Jesus Christ. That is Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus your Messiah. In verse 21 we read, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. according to verse 21, and I believe I have inadvertently written verse 20. If that's the case in your notes, I did not get it corrected before I sent them to Alan to print for you. But it should say according to verse 21. So if yours says verse 20, change it to verse 21. I hate errors in my work, but once in a while, my computer makes one. You know how that goes. I claim responsibility, however, because I'm the one that typed it. And I understand there's not a lot of difference between a 1 and a 0, except at the opposite end of the scale. It is necessary that Jesus remain in heaven until the time established by God the Father for his return, whom the heaven must receive, refers to Jesus Christ. The heaven is simply heaven. Heaven must receive suggests that Jesus will remain in heaven from the ascension until the second coming, until the times of restitution of all things is until the times of restoration of all things, and refers to something that will happen in the millennium following the second coming of Christ when he sets up his kingdom, which is plural and refers to all things which God hath spoken. Where God is God, the Father is God spoke, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Where his refers to God the Father, it is through the mouth of all his holy prophets. The holy prophets are thus pictured as the intermediate agents through whom God, the direct agent, used in delivering his message since the world began, literally, from eternity. Mouth is the organ of speech out of which speech comes and is singular, which indicates that there is only one message which has come by means of God's holy prophets. The message is not contradictory from one prophet to another. It is the message which he, meaning God himself, delivered to them to speak. Verse 21 has been used by some in an effort to disprove the pre-tribulation rapture. So I ask, does this verse disprove the pre-tribulation rapture, which is what we believe? The answer is simple. It's a two-letter word beginning with N and ending with O. It's one of those words that my children did not always seem to know the meaning of. Okay, you parents understand that statement. Your children didn't always know what no meant either. But that's it. Does this verse disprove the pre-tribulation rapture? No, it does not. The Believer's Bible Commentary has answered this question. By the way, that is a good commentary. If you wish to have one, especially good in the New Testament. The argument is that if the heavens must receive Jesus until the beginning of the millennium, then he cannot come before then to take the church home to heaven. But the answer, of course, is that Peter is speaking here to the men of Israel. He is discussing God's dealing with Israel nationally. As far as the nation of Israel is concerned, the Lord Jesus will remain in heaven until he comes to reign at the end of the tribulation. But individual Jews who believe on him during this church age will share with believing Gentiles in the rapture of the church, which could take place at any moment. Might it be today? It could be. Might it be during our lifetimes? It could be. Might it be way after we're all gone to heaven? It could be. We don't know when it's going to take place. But at the rapture, the Lord Jesus does not leave the heavens. We go to him in the air. Verse 22 says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." In verse 22, Peter quotes Moses regarding the Lord raising up a prophet. This prophet is Jesus, from them. And they will listen to him. Jesus is this prophet whom the Lord, meaning God the Father, will raise up. For truly introduces an example of what Moses, one of God's holy prophets, said. It's understood in the sense of for to be sure, or for indeed. Moses said, is Moses declared, or Moses proclaimed unto the fathers, suggests unto the ancestors, meaning unto the Jewish ancestors. And what he said is a quotation from Deuteronomy 18:15, and it comprises the rest of the verse. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Now, remember, if it starts with T, it's you singular. So thy, thee, thy, and thee are all singular in this verse referring to Moses. Unto him ye, you plural, shall hearken, listen, obey. It's speaking of the Jewish people. Deuteronomy 18:18, speaking similarly, says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee," you singular, Moses, "and will put my words in his mouth," that's the prophet's mouth, "and he," the prophet, that's Jesus, "shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." In the quotation from Deuteronomy 18:15, all the references to Moses, whether thy or thee, both of which are used twice, are singular, whereas ye is plural. But in Acts 3:22, where this verse is quoted, these uses are all changed to plural in reference to the Jews in the quotation. Inasmuch as God the Holy Spirit is the divine author of the scriptures, it is his prerogative to alter quotations when it suits his purposes. So don't be bothered by that change. If you're not familiar with this next paragraph, let me help you with it. In the King James Bible, you can distinguish between you when it's one person and you when it refers to many people. So I can say to you, meaning I can say to Jesse, or I can say to you, meaning all of you. We use it both as singular or plural. Does it make a difference? Yes, in some passages in Scripture, it makes a difference. Unfortunately, in some of these new modern versions, which are trying to make the language easier to understand, they confuse the text when they do not distinguish between you, singular, and you, plural. An example of this is in John chapter 3, verse 7, where Nicodemus has come to Jesus during the night, and Jesus says unto Nicodemus, "I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Thee, I say unto you, Nicodemus, you plural, you Jews, must be born again, not just Nicodemus. And what do the modern versions all say? I say unto you, you must be born again. So who's the you? In the modern versions, it would look like it is Nicodemus, but not looking like it's the rest of the Jewish people. Be careful. Some things may be easier to understand with the language updated. However, there's confusion that is introduced as well, and it's not as simple. In the quotation, we go from singular to plural, and it's the Holy Spirit's privilege to do this. A simple rule for keeping thee, thou, thy, thine, notice they all start with T, ye, you, and your, all starting with Y, a simple rule for keeping them straight in the King James translation as to singular or plural is that if the word begins with T, it is singular every time. But if it begins with Y, it is plural every time. Thus, thee, thou, thy, and thine are all second person singular, whereas ye, you, and your are all second person plural. The more recent translations have used only you or your in all cases, thus failing to distinguish between singular and plural usages, which are clear in Hebrew and Greek, with the result that the English reader may not be able to discern whether singular or plural is intended. This makes a difference in a proper understanding of a number of passages in the Bible. So have they clarified things or have they confused things? Be careful. Your answer is important. A prophet is someone who will proclaim God's message. In the Bible, a prophet is someone who received divine revelation and passed it on to others. It is in regard to this same prophet that the priests and Levites asked John the Baptist in John 1:21, and they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" Meaning, are you Elijah? And he saith, "I am not." Then they asked, "Art thou that prophet?" They do not mean by that a second question, as if they were asking, "Are you Elijah?" a second time. No, that prophet is referring to Deuteronomy 18:15, which the Lord will raise up like Moses. "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No, Jesus is that prophet. Shall the Lord your God raise up," where the Lord God refers to God the Father, and where your is plural and refers to the Jews, it is predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. It is the Lord your God will raise up. And under the direction of God the Holy Spirit, Luke has changed thy, your singular, referring to Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15, to your, meaning your plural, referring to the Jews in this verse written by Luke. "Shall raise up unto you," where you is plural and refers to the Jews, is for you. "Of your brethren," where your is plural, possessive, and refers to the Jews, is from or out of your brothers, and indicates the source from which this prophet will come. "He will be one of them," which means that he will be a Jew, like me, where "me" refers to Moses, indicates that the prophet whom God will raise up will speak to the people the words of God, just like Moses has done. him shall ye hear, where him refers to the prophet whom God will raise. This prophet is Jesus. Where ye refers to the Jewish people is predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. In the millennium, the Jewish people will hear. They will give careful attention to, they will listen to him, or they will heed what he says in all things. It's limited only by whatsoever he shall say unto you, where he refers to the prophet, you is plural, and refers to the Jews. Whatsoever is simply whatever. And you move on into verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. According to verse 23, every person who will not hear the prophet whom the Lord will raise up will be destroyed from among the people. And in this verse, Peter is quoting Deuteronomy 18:19. It shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And of course, this is referring to Jesus in Acts chapter 3, verse 23. And has been translated as continuing the thought. However, it is the same word often translated but, and may be understood here as introducing a contrasting statement, mildly contrasting to him shall ye hear in the previous verse. It shall come to pass is simply it will be, where the tense and mood of it will come to pass are predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. It's not something that might possibly happen. It's going to happen. As indicated by the italics, that has been supplied by the translators to aid the understanding of the English reader. Always realize the italicized words have been placed in the translation to help the English reader, but they're not found in the Greek or Hebrew. Every soul, where every is each and refers to each or every person. Soul is an example of a part, meaning the soul, being used to represent the whole person. Soul functions as the subject of shall be destroyed. Every soul, which, referring to soul, and it's combined in the Greek text with a word which was not translated, but introduces a note of contingency. Together with this word indicating contingency, they are understood in the sense of such an one whoever will not hear that prophet. Where that prophet refers to the prophet like Moses that the Lord, meaning God the Father, will raise up, is will not listen to, will not give careful attention to, will not heed, or will not obey that prophet. Its future tense is predictive of something which will definitely occur in the future for those who will not heed this prophet. Jesus is that prophet. That prophet is Jesus. Those who will not hear him are those who reject him as their Messiah and Savior. Shall be destroyed from the people is likewise predictive of something which will definitely occur to the individual who rejects this prophet's message. To the individual who rejects Jesus' message. Shall be destroyed is will be eliminated by destruction, will be utterly destroyed, or will be rooted out from the people. Indicates that this group who will not obey this prophet will be separated from the group of people who will obey him, meaning who will obey Jesus. And it means that he will be executed. Verse 24 goes on, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. According to verse 24, all the prophets from Samuel on have said the same things Moses said. Yea is emphatic. It's understood in the sense of indeed, in fact, verily or certainly, and continues the narrative, indicating that what Moses said was repeated by all the other prophets. All the prophets speaks of the sum total of all the spokesmen for God, of all those who received a divine revelation from the Lord and passed it on to the people. From Samuel and those that follow after indicates beginning with Samuel and continuing with others who prophesied after Samuel's ministry ended. Those that follow after is the ones who are in sequence, the ones in order, one after another, or perhaps the successors. Those that follow after is qualified by as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. The Greek text reads literally as many as spoke and foretold of these days, as many as is all those who have spoken is spoke and foretold, excuse me, and have foretold is announced beforehand, gave information in advance or foretold, and both have spoken and have foretold have been translated in ways which emphasize the results of their actions. Likewise is also. Of these days is simply these days and refers to the times when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord and the times of restitution of all things. Verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. According to verse 25, the Jews to whom Peter is speaking are descendants of the prophets and are the recipients of the covenant God made with Abraham to bless all the nations of the earth in Abraham's seed. Ye is you plural and refers to the Jews Peter is addressing in Solomon's portico or porch. It's also emphatic. Ye are indicates an existing circumstance. The children of the prophets is sons of the prophets and suggests that their identity is defined in their relationship to the prophets. Historically, the prophets were the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel and of the covenant, indicates that the identity of these Jews is also defined in their relationship to the covenant. The covenant is described by which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. This is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And this covenant, or rather this quotation, is from Genesis 22:18, 26:4, and 28:14. Genesis 22:18 says, and in thy, meaning in Abraham's seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou, you, Abraham, hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 26:4 says, and I will make thy, meaning Abraham's seed, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy, that is unto Abraham's seed, all these countries. And in thy, that is in Abraham's seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Genesis 28:14 says, and thy, that is Abraham's seed, shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou, You singular, Abraham, you, Abraham, shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, that is in thy, in Abraham's seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Jewish people will spread out over the world, which refers to the covenant. God is God the Father, and made indicates what God did with the covenant. God is the one who covenanted, and his covenant was unconditional. Do not mix Israel and the church. If you keep them distinct and separate, as you should, your theology will turn out to be that of a pre-tribulation rapturist. If you mix them, blend them, saying that the church is the fulfillment of Old Testament Israel, and take the promises made to Israel and apply them to the church, you will turn out to be either a mid or post-tribulation rapturist. Keep them separate and distinct. Pre-wrath rapture is the same thing as a mid-tribulation rapture, basically. Which God made with our fathers, suggests with our ancestors or with our forefathers. And it indicates that this covenant was made not only with Abraham, but also with the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, as indicated by other scriptures. That means not only with Abraham, but also to all Jewish people. Saying is used in conjunction with made, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of made. It's understood in the sense of while saying, or while he was saying unto Abraham, indicates the one to whom God gave the Abrahamic covenant, which was intended for the nation of Israel. And continues God speaking to Abraham. It might instead be understood in an emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. In thy seed, where thy is your singular and refers to Abraham, speaks of Abraham's seed or Abraham's descendant. Interestingly enough, Paul identifies Abraham's seed in Galatians 3:16 as being Christ. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, that would be the Jewish people, but as of one, and to thy, meaning Abraham's seed, which is Christ. In thy seed shall be blessed, predictive of something which will definitely occur in the future. All the kindreds of the earth, all the families, all the peoples, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Kindred speaks of a relatively large body of people existing as a totality at a given moment and linked in some way. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter is addressing these Jewish men in the temple precinct in Solomon's porch shortly after healing the lame man who had been lame since birth, which was more than 40 years earlier. According to verse 26, in Jesus' incarnation, God sent Jesus to bless the Jews, to provide for their salvation from sin. Unto you, where you is plural and refers to the Jews, is to you. It has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. And this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. First, in the first place, above all, or especially, God is God the Father. The appears before God in the Greek text in order to particularize him as God the Father, the God of heaven, the only God who exists. In the Greek text, God functions as the subject of sent. Having raised up is used in conjunction with sent, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sent. Is understood in the sense of after he raised or after he raised up or in the sense of he raised up. Having raised up speaks of God the Father sending Jesus Christ at his first coming in his incarnation. His son Jesus is the one whom God the Father sent to bless you, where him is Christ and you is plural and refers to the Jews. It's literally sent him blessing you. To bless is used in conjunction with sent, and it indicates the purpose for which God sent Jesus. To bless you in turning away indicates the means in or by which God will be blessing these Jews. In turning every one of you Jews from his iniquities is literally everyone from the iniquities of you, meaning of you Jews. In the Greek text, of you may be connected with everyone so that it reads every one of you. Or it may be a plural possessive connected with iniquities, and both understandings are possible. If of you is connected with iniquities and understood as your, then a second of you must be supplied with every one in the sense of every one of you from your iniquities. However, if of you is connected with every one, as the King James translators have done, then the before iniquities must be understood as a possessive and understood in the sense of his, as the King James translators have done, or your singular. There's really very little difference in meaning, if any. Each person who trusts Christ as his Savior will be blessed as God turns him from his iniquities. A term used in the New Testament literature only of a state or condition of a lack of moral or social values in the sense of wickedness, baseness, maliciousness, or sinfulness. At the same time, each Jew who trusts Christ as his Savior will turn not only from his own iniquities, but will also turn from the iniquities which all the Jews as a nation had committed or were committing. And so as I draw this to a conclusion, let me say this. God sent his son, Jesus, to turn everybody from his sins. This includes each one of us. Have you trusted him as your Savior from sin and its consequences? And if you have, or think you have, what change has this made in the way you are living your life? John 3:16 clearly states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved you and me so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay for our sins in full so that we never have to pay for any of them. And if we will believe that, God will forgive all of our sins and give us the promise of eternal life. If you're not sure about whether you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'd love to discuss it with you. I'll be going to the door after we sing the closing hymn, and I'll be there. You can say to me that you'd like me to come by your house and talk to you about being saved or about your salvation. You want to be sure. I want you to be sure. I can only go by what you tell me. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that you have provided for our eternal salvation. May each one who hears this be absolutely certain of his salvation and be living his life for thee. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.